Hey everybody, how are you doing? It's your boy Jay here. It is Friday, just about 5 p.m., June 19th, otherwise known as Juneteenth. Yeah, how y'all doing today? A little update on the Introversion podcast. I have been interviewing a bunch of guests lately. I've posted two episodes in the past week. I think we got Tom and Henrik, and I've interviewed a couple more friends since then, and I'll be posting Anna Broadway next. It's an interesting episode with an old Christian friend of mine, and she talks about this massive project she undertook where she traveled the world to interview Christian singles and get their perspective on
life.
Wow. It's very deep. Thank you, Vinny.
Anyway, just that's coming up. The thing about recording these interview episodes is it kind of takes a lot of time. I'll be sitting down with my guests and we talk for maybe like 2 hours, 3 hours, and I get all the audio together and then I edit it down, you know, add in a little flavor with some pop culture bits. And,
make it fun!
You know, take out some long pauses and a bunch of uhs and, you know, all that. And it takes time. It takes time to do all that. And I kind of want to just get back to this. I've recorded two solo episodes so far, and those also took a lot of time, and they were very well thought out, but I kind of want to get into this mode of just, you know, hitting record and starting to talk and, like, just let's keep this raw. Let's keep it flowing, you know? So yeah, so here I am recording a solo episode. It's been a couple weeks or so. Another crazy week, of course, here. What do we got? Aunt Jemima.
Goodbye.
Uncle Ben.
Goodbye.
Gone with the Wind.
Goodbye.
Taco Bell.
Sunset Hard Hands.
Are they canceled yet? Starbucks.
Give me the frat whack.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, it's... I don't know. One thing I want to say is, again, going back to this podcast, is so far it's been really serious.
This is who we are to the bitter end. Inevitably, irrevocably. Happy birthday. No such thing.
Every episode has been pretty serious. And either for those of you who know me, or maybe a lot of you who don't know me that well or know me at all, it's a relatively new podcast. It's only been around for, I guess, a little over a month. And it's been quite serious, obviously, with everything going on in the world right now. It's hard to kid around. It's hard to, you know, joke around and be silly and whatever, which is kind of how I love. I mean, I love comedy. You know, I love watching it. I love funny shit in general. Humor, funny, I don't know. It's just, I've been told I'm funny by certain people.
But my mom says I'm cool.
And it's not like you try to be funny. I mean, I guess some people do try to be funny, but if you're trying to be funny, it's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of inherently not funny if you're trying too hard or I don't know. I think I just want to be natural, you know? Like, I want to be myself and just let it flow. And if I say some funny shit or, you know, whatever, then cool, you know? But I just wanna get into that flow and be myself and put that out there in the world, because I think some of it will be funny, a lot of it will be serious, but it will all be me, right? So, and that's cool. I think part of the beauty of this podcast thing is that people don't have the attention span for podcasts. So it's kind of like, if there are things you want to say that you just want to get off your chest and you want to put that out there in the world, can't do it on Facebook, can't do it on Twitter, can't do it anywhere really on social media because people will actually see it. And if it's offensive, you know, you run the risk of getting canceled. So what you can do is you can start a podcast and ramble for a little bit. And then maybe around the 15-minute, 20-minute point, start dropping some offensive shit, you know? All those thoughts that you have floating around in your head, but there's nowhere to go. You can start trickling them out in a podcast. You just got to give it, like, you know, give it 10 minutes, give it 15 minutes, because if you start out right away with some offensive shit, then, you know, they're gonna come for you with pitchforks. So just delay that shit, because people, it's kind of like, I don't know, this is just a theory, but it's a little bit like a remedy, a solution for censorship and cancel culture. It's like the solution is just bury it in a podcast, in a long form video, because nobody has the attention span to even make it to the point where you're going to say something that would offend them and bother them. So yeah, it's like you can get all this shit off your chest. You just have to delay it in a podcast. So anyway, by now, if you've listened to this point, you're probably wondering, what is this offensive shit that I want to get off my chest? And to that I say, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, because it's not on the tip of my tongue right now. I don't even know what the offensive shit is that I want to say. But I think it'll just happen organically. It'll just come out in the right time, which I think might end up being after around 15 or 20 minutes or so. If we even make it there. I don't know. We'll see. So anyway, let's talk. Let's talk about what the fuck is going on in society these days.
What's happening?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, like I said, it's Juneteenth, as you all know. And so a friend of mine sent me a couple Twitter tweets. And apparently, some white people out there are sending cash, I guess via Venmo or PayPal, to random black people.
Show me the money.
Show me the money!
I can't even tell if... I can't even tell anymore, you know? Like, this is the society we live in now, where I can't even tell what's a joke and what's real anymore. So if you're looking at it in a serious way, let's talk about news, right? Let's talk about science. Let's talk about facts. And it's like, in that realm, it's getting so hard to tell what's really true, right? And that's kind of important, you know? If we don't know what happened in Atlanta or what happened in Minneapolis or what happened in LA, or, you know, because how are you going to know what happened anywhere, right? Everybody, I mean, obviously we're all plugged into the internet and fewer people are relying on traditional cable TV and all that. But you basically have your choice of news source. And I don't know what the stats are right now. I've heard Steven Crowder joke a lot about how CNN's ratings are down. These are jokes he used to joke about maybe 6 months ago, before the lockdown and COVID and all that. But I don't know. I'm guessing CNN's ratings have probably gone up since the pandemic lockdown and all that. So you got, I don't know, let's just say for the sake of argument, you got 30% of people watching CNN, 30% of people watching Fox News. Let's just say that. It's probably more than that. It's probably less than that. Whatever. let's just split it down the middle and say, okay, half people watching Fox News, half people watching CNN. So event X happens in Atlanta or, you know, wherever. And you watch CNN's story about what happened, and then you watch Fox News's story about what happened, and you're basically left with a decision. All right, well, which one am I going to believe? Which story am I going to believe? Let's face it, that's really what it's coming down to these days. So, you know, when I know people give Trump, people get on Trump for literally anything, for breathing. But when he calls out fake news, all my liberal friends would never agree with Trump on anything. Because anytime he says something that's true, if he said George Floyd's death was a tragedy, he said the Chauvin officer guy should be held accountable, prosecuted, you know, he's consoled the families, he's done all these things. And anytime he actually says the right thing, you know, my liberal friends, my Trump-hating TDS friends, we'll still chastise him and condemn him because how dare he?
How dare you?
How dare he say the words Black Lives Matter? How dare he try to unify people and wanting to bring people? How dare he speak like this? So, okay, there was that video. I don't know if any of y'all heard about it, but Trump put out that video a few weeks ago. And it was blocked by Twitter. It was taken down for copyright infringement. I think they got it on the grounds of the music or something that was in the video. Whatever it was, so find an excuse. So they take it down. I had to go do some digging. I ended up finding it on YouTube. I watched the video. It was a beautiful video, you know, with Trump speaking and all this footage of what's been happening in Minneapolis and everywhere else. And, you know, it's a beautiful video. And it's a message of hope and of unification. And, you know, these are hard times, but we can try to get through this all together as Americans. And yet I saw all my angry friends continually posting it. Trump hasn't even said anything about George Floyd. Trump has, and I'm like, actually he did. He put out a video and it got taken down. So, you know, anyway, I don't even want to go on about that anymore because it's not my main point. I don't have a main point here, but on the other hand, it's like, it's really hard for me to defend Trump. And that's not even what I'm doing right now. My point was this whole concept of fake news and what can you believe and what's a joke and what is real, you know? And I don't know, man. I've said this a couple years ago when there was some crazy shit going down in society. I don't remember what it was, but it's happened a few times where there was somebody would send me an article or I'd see something on Facebook and I would comment. I was like, is this real or is this an Onion article? And that happened a few times, you know, 2017, 2018. And that frequency has been picking up. And now things are so bonkers. It's literally like every other article. I can't tell if it's sarcastic, if it's a comedic thing or if it's for real. Because there is some insane shit going on these days. And I don't know. I think my current mood right now, I think I have been really safe the past 2-3 weeks in terms of my voice, in terms of my tonality. And I think that was smart and wise for me to do. I mean, I don't exist. I don't want to piss people off in general. I don't want to. I am a contrarian and I do. It's not that I want to rock the boat. It's more that I'm the kind of person who swims upstream. So, you know, if everybody's going left, I tend to want to go right, you know, and vice versa. So that's just the nature of my personality. That's who I am. I don't really like getting on bandwagons. I don't really like conforming. I don't really like doing what everybody else is doing and in the exact same way that everybody else is doing it. That's just me. So, you know, but like I said, I've been playing it safe. And even right now in this recording, I have not said anything offensive. At least in my opinion, I have not. And it's funny because even if I get around to saying something quote unquote offensive, it's kind of like, well, it's not offensive to me. I'll say something. But when I talk about saying something offensive, it basically means, oh, I'm saying something that a lot of people will probably find offensive. And specifically, a lot of people on the left will find it offensive. So, yeah, for all I know, a radical leftist extremist might have heard me talking already, and they're already deeply upset and offended at what I've said. But like I said earlier, I think I'm a little bit in the clear here, because I don't think too many militant social justice warriors would have even listened this far into the podcast episode for me to be listening to me right now. So it's kind of like the longer I talk now, the more free I can get to say whatever the hell I want to say, you know? But yeah, I'm just spitballing here. I don't think I am going to say anything really offensive right now. And again, it's not like I want to go out of my way to say offensive things, but just kind of a quick little check-in with you all. And I kind of just wanted to put something personal out there and in a non-interview format where it's just me and you connecting and you know, I'm putting this out there. I'm in such a weird mood right now, you know, neither here nor there. It's not good or bad. It's literally just like, I just don't know anymore. So life is so ridiculous. I'm starting to feel like, you know, like I said, I've been really serious for the last couple weeks. You know, I've been getting into these very non-offensive, eloquently spoken, or at least the best I can do, debates with people and, you know, wanting to be empathetic and understanding. And all of that is great and beautiful. You know, that's great. When it comes to solving problems like racism, like police brutality, like all of these serious issues, there needs to be that. You know, there needs to be words that are chosen wisely. There needs to be a lot of listening on every end. Whites listening to blacks, blacks listening to whites, and everybody in between listening to everybody in between. And, you know, there needs to be that. But when I think about introversion in this podcast and my life, it's like, look, I'm not an activist. This is not an activist brand or podcast or channel. Like, this is just me living my life, you know? And when I think about what makes life worth living, for me, it's being creative. It's being funny or enjoying things that are funny and or are just eccentric or different or things that get me thinking or feeling in a different way than I did 2 minutes ago. There's a certain richness of experience of life for me in variety, in different music, you know, different people, different perspectives, different art. And that's always how I operate, you know. And lately, it's just hitting me over the head so much, like how singular.
Black lives matter. 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 Black lives matter.
Our society is. And, you know, I haven't been following all this Trump nonsense pretty much since he got elected. But from what I've heard, before the pandemic kicked in, everybody was going on about Trump impeachment and Trump impeachment. And
impeach Trump. Impeach Trump. Impeach Trump.
I was checked out of that whole thing, you know, because they just spent the last couple of years talking Russia, Russia, Russia.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia.
And all this shit. And, you know, they're just trying to find whatever they can to take Trump down. And I don't know. It's like, what do people have to show for it? You know, everybody yells and screams, but what do you have to show for yourself? Have you enjoyed the last year or two of your life? Have you spent your time wisely? Have you, or has your blood pressure gone up? Are you more stressed out? Are you losing sleep? Are you losing hair? Are you losing time in your life? Over what? Trying to get Trump out of office? Is that, you know, anyway, I don't want to go off on Trump derangement syndrome, but my point is how singular-minded our society is and our media is. Like for February, March, April, May, nothing but
COVID-19.
Coronavirus. That's it. That's it. And all there was little variations on that. Oh, should you wear a mask? Should you not wear a mask? What does WHO say? What does Fauci say? What does CDC say? What is CNN's perspective? What is Fox News' perspective? People want to go outside. Other people say, no, don't do that. You're killing my grandmother. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Da 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 da. Like on and on and on and on. This just goes around. Like that's it for February, March, April, May. And I quickly got sick of all that. And I did get into some debates on Facebook, trying to relay some stats and information and data to people who otherwise were just reposting CNN articles without even reading the articles or, you know. And again, I was doing all that, but I was like, what the hell am I even doing? Like, what am I trying to convince people of something? Am I trying to show people facts when really they're just basing all of their actions on emotions? They don't even care about facts. But again, even the facts that I'm presenting, I could be wrong about those things because I'm choosing these other sources over here. I'm listening to doctors and these scientists over here, whereas some friends are listening to doctors and experts over there. And they're all saying different things, and I'm just saying, well, I'm going to go with these guys, and you go with those guys, and what? Like, where are we going with this? Where are we getting with this? It's, like, pointless. Pointless. So, which leads up to where I'm at today, and what I'm talking about right now is I'm starting to just check out. I'm really... And don't worry about me. When I say check out, I don't mean, like, suicide or depression or anything like that. Not at all. I just mean, what the hell are we doing in our society right now? And what the hell am I going to do about it? What role do I want to play in whatever is happening right now? Am I a fan of what's happening right now? Do I like seeing every statue torn down and all of this shit? Do I like seeing Aunt Jemima canceled and Uncle Ben? I'm like, look, you know, I just feel like I don't care, you know, like I'm taking this nihilist approach, this feeling right now. But for me to say I don't care, that's not even true because I do care. You know, when I saw George Floyd die and the dude's knee on his neck
for 8 minutes and 46 seconds.
I can't just watch that and say I don't care. I do care. It's vile. It's disgusting, you know? And, you know, on the other hand, on the flip side, I watched the full 45-minute video of what happened in Atlanta this past week. And having watched the whole thing, I don't hold the cops at fault for what happened. And honestly, for most all of my liberal friends who actually think this cop should be tried for felony murder and potentially get the death penalty for what happened? For people who think that way, I'd really love to know if you sat down and watched the full 45-minute video. And also if you saw the wide shot where Rayshard was running away, yes, after he stole one of the cops' tasers and he was turning around and firing the taser at one of the cops, only at that moment when he was literally firing a weapon at one of the cops, the other cop finally pulled his gun out to shoot him. So I would encourage you, if you have not watched the whole scene from start to finish, I sat there and I watched the whole thing, all 45 minutes of it. So that is kind of how I operate, is I don't want to be throwing my opinions and views out there unless I can kind of see for myself what happened. And with technology and cell phone cameras and all this stuff, like, we live in a weird era now where you can kind of see everything for yourself. When it's surveillance footage, when it's people on their iPhones, you get to see everything happen. Well, not everything, but you get to see a lot happening as it's happening. So we get that kind of raw, unfiltered view at what really is going down. So me personally, I want to get as much of that raw footage, as much as it's disturbing, in order to come to some kind of educated conclusion about what's actually happening. Because I feel like just tuning into CNN or Fox News and watching a two-minute story on their story about what happened, or the other side's story about what happened, I'm like, look, I just, again, I've said it before, I'm a skeptical person. I don't really trust institutions, news media, politicians. I don't trust people in general like this. So that's the thing. I will watch the different news sources and I will get an idea of what's going on, but I'm not going to clamor and post on Facebook, "Off with his head" for the cop who shot him. I'm not going to spew that kind of rhetoric when I haven't even seen this shit for myself. But I have seen this shit for myself with this particular incident. And having said that, I don't hold that cop responsible. So punitive measures, whatever, fine. If they do something, you know, manslaughter or whatever, or he loses his job, whatever. But like, I don't know. I just put myself in the scenario, right? That's when it comes to empathy. I think that's a great exercise that more people could do to not just empathize, but to get a better sense of an issue or an event or something that happened. And by that, I mean, okay, let me put myself in the shoes of Rayshard. So let's say I've been driving drunk. I'm driving my car, I pull into Wendy's, and I'm so drunk that I pass out in my car in the drive-thru. I pass out, which is what happened. So again, I'm putting myself in that situation. So I'm in the drive-thru, I pass out, people call 911, the cops come knocking at my door. The cop, I open the, or he opens the door, the cop, and I'm there passed out. He wakes me up. I'm like, oh, so what did Rayshard do? The cop asked him to go ahead and pull the car out of the drive-thru and go over there into the parking lot and park. So what does Rayshard do? He passes back out, goes back to sleep. So the cop comes again, wakes him up. You know, again, this first cop, he was very friendly, very cordial. He seemed like a really chill guy. You know, he's not harassing Rayshard, even though he has every reason to. This guy drove drunk and he's blocking the drive-thru. You know, that's a crime. You can't drink and drive. There's reasons why we have laws. It's not like drinking and driving is some arbitrary nothing. People die every year. So many people die every year from getting killed by drunk drivers. So for everybody who's just writing that off, like, you know, whatever, he was drunk and he was driving, but, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, tell that to all the, you know, tell that to MAD, right? Like all the mothers against drunk driving. Tell that to all the parents who've lost children killed by drunk drivers. Yeah, tell that to them, that drunk driving is not, you know. But again, I just want to state this really quickly, because I don't want to go all into this. This is not an episode about the Atlanta thing. But what I want to say, I want to go back to what I was doing, which is I'm putting myself in the position of each player in that scene. So, okay, I'm Rayshard, right? So I'm so drunk, the cop comes, knocks on my door, tells me to go in the parking lot. I pass out again instead of moving. They come back again. They wake me up again. I'm like, okay. I drive over to the parking lot, and then the cop is asking me what's going on, right? And I've never been so drunk in my life where I didn't have some sense of reality and what is going on, or like basically being in complete non-control of my body and thoughts and actions. I've never been that drunk. And, you know, it's just for situations just like this, this is why you don't drink that much. You don't ever want to drink so much that you are out of control, that you're doing and saying things and you have no clue what is happening, which was apparently the case with Richard. So, and this is the point I want to make. If I were in that scenario, I would know what the fuck I did. I would know I've been drinking. I would know, especially when they told me, oh, dude, you were passed out in the drive-thru in your car. And they tell me that, I would be aware enough of my own senses and what I've done in the last couple hours. I would be like, oh, yeah. And again, this is me putting myself in that position. I will tell you honestly, this is how I would, first of all, I wouldn't ever put myself in that position, but let's just say that I did. I am drunk driving. Let's just say I did. I put myself in that scenario. Guess what? The cops are talking to me. I've been drunk driving. I passed out and they're asking me about it. I would say, look, officer, I'm really sorry. You're right. I was drinking. If we got to do the sobriety test, let's do the sobriety test. So they do the sobriety test. It shows I've been drinking too much. And the cop is like, well, you know, we're going to have to bring you in. Put your arms behind your back. I'm going to cuff you here. And again, if this were me, I know what I did. And I know that drunk driving is a crime. And the cops got me. So they're ready to arrest me and bring me into the station or whatever. They put my arms behind my back. I'm like, fuck. I'm nervous, of course, because, you know, again, as a black men are going to be nervous. Look at everything that's happened in the past with police brutality and all these things. So I get that. But at the same time, I know what I did. And I know what I did was illegal, and the cops have me. So it's like, you know what? It's time to come clean. It's time to pay your dues. You know, you let them arrest you. You know, they put you into the cop car. They take you to the station, all that. You go with that because, you did the crime. You pay the time. You know, it's like you have to. This is just the natural course of things. So again, this is just me. If I were in that scenario, I would admit, I'm sorry, I did wrong. You know, go ahead, take me in. I'm at fault. I'm the one at fault here. So that is how I would have reacted in that situation if I were Richard. Instead, Richard, if you haven't seen it, but you should watch it for yourself, that's the moment he decides to fight off the cop from handcuffing him, starts wrestling, starts punching them, steals one of the cop's tasers, fires it at them. They're kind of knocked down. He starts running away. He has the taser. He turns around, fires at them. And I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? So Richard, his actions are what put him in that situation. Okay, so like I just walked through that scenario in terms of if I were Richard, what I would have done. First of all, I wouldn't have been drunk driving, but let's say I screwed up there and I did. Okay. At that point, I would have known I'm caught. I'm like, okay, all right, you got me. I'm sorry. I would have apologized. I would have let them arrest me because that was my bad. So I'm not above the law. I broke the law. Okay. I know that it's not really any different than, I mean, it's a speeding ticket. If the cop catches me speeding, I'm like, damn, that sucks. But all right. They caught me, give me the ticket, I gotta pay it, whatever. But like, that's life. So now let me put myself really quick here. Let me put myself in the position of the cops. So both of those cops handled themselves professionally. you know, they did their jobs. They were very patient with this guy, basically a drunk driver. They were very patient with him for 45 minutes talking, but eventually they did the sobriety test. It's shown. It's like, okay, this guy's a drunk driver. We got to take him in. So all they're just doing is, you know, putting the handcuffs on to arrest him, to bring him in. And at that point, Rayshard, like I said, blows up, starts fighting them and all this. So at that point, I'm the cop with the gun. I got knocked down. The offender, the drunk driver, Rayshard, is running away. I see he has the taser. He stole it from one of the cops. My partner is closer to him, knocked down. And I see Rayshard turning around, pointing the taser back at my partner. Now, think about it. Again, I'm not a cop, whatever. But like, you're listening to this right now. You're probably not a cop too. Put yourself in the position of you're seeing your partner on the ground and you're seeing somebody who stole the taser and you don't even know if it's a taser. This is all happening in such an instant. But you do see he has a weapon in his hand and he's turning around and he's shooting at your partner. What do you do at that point? You're at a distance where the only thing you can do to potentially save the life of your partner is you pull out your gun. And that's exactly what he did. This whole entire time, they did not pull out the gun until this moment. He pulls out the gun, he shoots, he ends up killing Rayshard. So, again, to everybody listening to this, no matter how liberal or conservative you are, whatever, just as a person, again, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong, whatever. I'm just like, I went through that exercise of putting myself in Rayshard's position and putting myself in the cop's position. And I'm telling you what I would have done on either side. And I would encourage you, if you're going to post about this on social media, if you're going to protest, if you're going to rant about it and yell and scream and demand all these things, I would hope you would at least take the time to watch the full-length video, the whole altercation, as a step one. And then as a step two, put yourself in the position of Rayshard and think about how you would have acted. And then also put yourself in the position of the cops and what you would have done if your partner is about to get shot. What would you do at that point? In the blink of an eye, too. This isn't like you have 30 minutes to sit around and think about it. In the heat of the moment, what would you do? So, yeah, I would encourage you to go through that exercise and just think about it. And, you know, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it, you know? For those of you who are connected with me on Facebook, you know, send me a message, reach out. We can talk about it in more depth, but otherwise you can always email me if I don't know you, if you're out there. You can email me at podcast@introversion.com and we can talk about that. Or, you know, maybe we don't even need to talk about it. You know, this isn't the kind of thing that I even really necessarily want to debate with people. I just wanted to put that out there that, you know, this whole concept of the news and the crazy shit that's happening in society and what lengths are you going to go through to get to the truth? I'm not saying that's easy because it's certainly not as easy as turning on Fox News and watching a quick 5-minute report and thinking, oh, okay, I got the full truth now. And the same goes for CNN, the same goes for MSNBC, the same goes for whatever news source you choose to trust. So, but going back to sort of my nihilism and my kind of feeling of like I'm checking out of this whole thing, I just feel like, look, you know, I have my life to live. I have my decisions to make. You know, we all make our own decisions for our own lives every day. You know, you can choose to do drugs. You can choose to drink and drive. You can choose to study hard. You can choose to work hard. You can choose to learn a new skill. You can choose to work out. You can choose to be a couch potato. You can do what you want. You know? You can fuck up your own life if you want. That's your freedom. I do feel really sorry for the people who work hard and do things quote unquote right, their whole life, and then the shit falls apart for them due to somebody else's negligence or somebody else's racism or somebody else's anger or drunk driving or whatever the case is. Unfortunately, we live in a fucked up, unjust world where bad shit happens to good people. But, you know, so there's no guarantees that even if you do everything right, that your life is going to magically work out perfectly. There's not. There's no guarantees in life. But you can accept that and be, you can accept that and then move forward and make the best possible decisions for your life, right? That's what I try to do with my life, and I would encourage you to do that for your life. Make sound decisions, you know? Make healthy decisions. But yeah, I have gone on. I'm going to cut this off here. Turns out I got serious again, and I didn't go silly. How about that? Once again.
Why so serious?
Sorry for leading you on as if I was going to be funny and, you know, make you laugh, lift your spirits. Sorry about that. I went dark again. I went deep and serious, and just can't seem to help it these days. But anyway, as always, some food for thought for you there. I hope you are well and safe out there amidst all the craziness going on right now. Yeah. I'll leave it at that for now. I've rambled on for a bit. I think I've said a few things worth saying. And, yeah. And now a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by
the State Lottery, where everybody wins. Actual odds of winning 1 in 380 million.
I hope this has been enlightening for you.
The Introversion Podcast is on its way, but we've obviously got a long way to go to get to where we want to be getting to. I will certainly be doing my part in cranking out new episodes every week, but here's where you come in. If you haven't yet done so, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're currently listening on. That way you can obviously get notified as soon as new episodes arrive. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give a 5-star rating. It just takes a second, and it will empower the Introversion Podcast to rise up and conquer the suppression of algorithms that would otherwise crush this fledgling podcast into unknown oblivion. So yeah, please leave a rating, and even better, an actual review. Just a few words expressing what you dig about the podcast honestly would mean the world to me and would really help provide the motivation to keep this baby growing. Also, I'd love to hear from you at any time. Comments, questions, or if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, send an email to podcast@introversion.com. You can also connect with me on social media. I am Jay Kaslow, that's JayKaslow, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, pretty much wherever. I really want the Introversion Podcast to be something special. Raw, informative, entertaining, experimental.
Inconceivable!
Enlightening, therapeutic for you and me. Let's keep the conversations going about a range of topics that affect us all. Let's rise above all the hate and sickness and sadness and strife that plague this world. Let's seek to better understand each other and ultimately live our best lives. Seriously, let's do this thing.
Thank you.
Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.